From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. Federal investigators have released more information about a commercial passenger plane that crashed at Juneau's airport during takeoff last month. But investigators haven't figured out what caused the small passenger aircraft to lose control as it picked up speed on the runway, forcing the pilot to crash land. Clint Johnson is Alaska chief of the National Transportation Safety Board.
We're looking very closely at the airplane, the systems on the airplane, and also the engine manufacturer, which in this case is Honeywell.
The Alaska Seaplane's single-engine Cessna 208 was departing shortly before 9 a.m. for an 80-mile commuter flight to Skagway with a pilot and five passengers. According to the NTSB's preliminary report released on Tuesday, the plane veered sharply to the right while accelerating down the runway. The pilot's efforts to turn the rudders left were ineffective, and the plane was in danger of crashing into a float pond that parallels Juneau International Airport's paved runway. The pilot couldn't stop, so instead lifted off to become airborne, turned and made an emergency crash land on the runway. The aircraft was heavily damaged, according to the report. Investigators say they had examined the nose wheel, steering system, brakes, and flight control systems, but found nothing that would explain the sudden loss of control. The report doesn't identify the pilot or five passengers, but Kent Crayford, co-owner of Alaska Seaplanes, says the pilot is doing very well.
She was uninjured, thankfully, as were the passengers uninjured. So we were very, very thankful that she was able to make an emergency landing that everyone was able to walk away from.
Investigators are still digging. They don't believe weather was a factor. Visibility was good, and there were broken clouds and winds were light, according to the report. And through this past weekend, sea ice extent in the Chukchi Sea was well above average from the last 30 years.
So far, Chukchi sea ice is developing much quicker this year than it has in all recent years.
Climatologist Rick Toman with the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy has Chukchi sea ice data going back to at least 1979. According to the Sea Ice Index, current sea ice extent in northern Alaska waters is the highest it's been since November of 2001. He says as of November 13th, last Saturday, the main ice pack had already reached the northern coast of the Seward Peninsula.
What we have right now is fairly typical in the sense that ice tends to start to grow out from the Alaska and the Chukotka coast. And this year, it's actually kind of met down towards the Bering Strait. So now there's actually no open water now, kind of just north of the Bering Strait over between Chukotka and the Alaska side.
As of today, sea ice in the Bering Sea has covered much of the eastern Norton Sound along the coastline of the Seward Peninsula, except for an area in front of Nome, and started forming on the southern edge of St. Lawrence Island. This is much more favorable for western Alaska compared to the sea ice conditions the region experienced last year. The last couple winters in the Bering and Chukchi Seas have featured record low sea ice extents. Toman says all the pieces for sea ice growth, like colder surface temperatures and sustained northern winds, came together this year in the Bering Strait region.
Really, since early October, we've been in a persistently cold pattern. Not quite every day, of course, below normal, but most days below normal. And so we didn't have the thumb on the scales with very warm water that the heat had to be extracted out of. And we've had a weather pattern that's been conducive to ice formation.
Based on current forecast models, the entire Norton Sound could be covered in ice by the end of this month. Skagway will offer unemployment benefits to those who stay in town this winter. It's an effort to keep people from moving away, even after two straight summers with very little tourism. KHNS's Mike Swayze reports.
Last week, Skagway's assembly unanimously voted to make additional unemployment benefits available to anyone living in Skagway that qualifies for either state or federal unemployment benefits. It will also cover anyone who can document underemployment due to a COVID-19-related absence. The Skagway-based benefits will be in addition to any benefits already being received through state or federal programs, and it'll be paid for as part of the $2 million donation made by Norwegian Cruise Lines Holdings earlier this year. Assemblyperson Deb Potter says that one of the lessons learned during the pandemic is that Skagway's livelihood is based on a cruise ship economy.
You know, we're really a seasonal-based workforce, and we've got to find a way to get our seasonal workforce through the winter until those jobs start up again in the spring, hopefully when we see cruise ships coming back.
The program will begin paying out checks in December. However, the criteria for being accepted into the program will be based on November's employment history. In order to make sure only people living in Skagway are receiving the funds, each check will have to be picked up in person at City Hall. The first draft of the resolution didn't include provisions for work stoppages due to COVID-19 or for small business owners who don't qualify for state unemployment benefits. Those changes were added last week. Skagway Tour Company owner and operator Sherry Corrington says she wouldn't have qualified without the changes.
As a self-employed individual, I was not eligible for unemployment through the state of Alaska. That's where the pandemic unemployment insurance came into play. That was basically the life ring for all the gig workers or self-employed individuals and people that were working under their own social security number.
But Corrington says she did qualify for federal pandemic unemployment assistance. She also says federal grants helped her business stay afloat this year, but she wouldn't be eligible for assistance with her household expenses this winter. That's where the Skagway Unemployment Assistance Program comes in.
Oh, it will go to my home mortgage. It'll help me pay off my utilities, my heating expenses, fuel, the things that aren't covered by anything right now. And, you know, I'm racking up credit card bills and I'm shifting money around and trying to get clever, but it means I won't run myself into the ground financially throughout the winter.
The program will offer up to $150,000 in December and up to $100,000 for each month of January, February, and March. The overall monthly budget will be split equally amongst the applicants, but individual payments are capped at $2,400 a month for unemployment benefits and $120 a day for up to 2 weeks for COVID-19 relief benefits. Any remaining funds will be reallocated by the Assembly. Skagway's municipality hasn't announced when it will begin processing applications. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
An Anchorage man who was blinded by a bear at the Russian River on the Kenai Peninsula nearly two decades ago is bringing his story to the silver screen. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
Dan Bigley, author of Beyond the Bear, says he's talking to producers and a screenwriter about turning the book he wrote about his experience into a movie.
Just like after the accident or, you know, the bear attack, people were always saying, oh, you should write a book, you should write a book. And then as soon as the book was out, people are like, oh, this would be a great movie. You know, it's just one of those things I've heard a lot.
In 2003, when Bigley was 25, he was attacked by a brown bear after a day of salmon fishing on the Russian River. The bear bit him in the face, permanently blinding him. In 2013, he co-wrote a book about the experience and how he moved forward. He says he had some calls about turning it into a movie, but for a while, nothing came of them. Then he connected with screenwriter Molly McAlpine, who was willing to write a script on spec. Bigley says they're talking to producers from Guy Walks Into a Bar, a New York production company behind films like Elf and Sully.
We're just finishing up the script right now, and we'll start to shop it around and try to get other actors and people attached to the project.
Bigley says the screenplay largely covers the same chronology as the book, but he says he's rethinking which scenes he should keep in the movie.
So in some ways we can include more or include different threads, but in a lot of other ways, like, you know, we're limited by the number of scenes and by the number of hours that we have to tell the story.
He says they're still working on settling most other details, like where they'll film the movie.
I think we would love to do it here in Alaska. And, you know, Alaska, you know, is a character in the story, really, is the way I think about it.
Nearly 20 years after the accident, Bigley lives in Anchorage with his wife and two kids. He says some days it's harder than others to rehash that part of his life.
But to be honest, like, one of the things about writing the book and sharing the story so broadly is that it has become a lot easier. And I think part of that, obviously, is time. Obviously, all the personal work I've done, you know, in my own therapy and things like that. But I think the bigger answer, really, is that the bigger my life gets, the smaller my disability gets. And really, the bigger my life gets, the smaller the trauma of it all gets. And I've gone on to live a very fulfilling and wonderful life. And so, I mean, that's what the whole story is about moving beyond the bear.
He says people can follow the progress of the movie through his Facebook, at Dan Bigley, Bear Attack Survivor. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
That is the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.